all came from my Lay, ill kid at Williams. So holding it down, bringing that street kick and nerd. So what is up, my people? Good to see you today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came through. All my early folks in the chat, all my people coming in on the replay. If you like Halo, you want to talk Halo, hit that like button, go on and subscribe, share this out to your folks. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to waste no time on you. I ain't going to do y'all like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep it real with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you what I need from you as we do this exchange. If you could, get up in that chat. Let's start typing. Let's start talking. I want to know first up on the episode 2 of Halo Unbound, what is your favorite part about this episode? What's your favorite part? I really want to know. What is your favorite part of this episode? What got you going? Or are you kind of angry about this episode? You know what I'm saying? Are you mad about it? Because, you know what I'm saying, there could be some anger. Could be some anger out there. I've heard the anger. But I wanted to give a shout out to Kid at Heart and Malcolm Lee and Therese. They came through on the stream earlier this morning. So big shout out to y'all. Thank y'all for rolling through. And let's get into some Halo. Well, you know what? First, hold up. Before we get into some Halo, I want to give a big shout out. Much love. I want to give a Lifetime Achievement Award. We got one for Samuel L. Jackson, all right? But I want to give a Lifetime Achievement Award to your boy, Bokeem Woodbine, all right? This is why. I turn on my Halos, all right? I turn on my Halo, and I'm watching the show. And they got him back when John was yet a young boy. You know what I'm saying? Just a young upstart in the Spartan program. You know, just a whippersnapper trying to make it. And he had a friend. You know what I'm saying? A black friend that was like, look, man, this program is crazy. They're not keeping it real with us. This is dumb. It's control. We need to leave. Let's run away. So he's like, all right, he got his pack and everything. And John's like, I ain't going with you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to stop you. You know what I'm saying? He's like, yo, John, I mean, from the conversation, you can clearly see, like, yo, hold up, bruh. Like, we decided that we was going to leave together. Like, what you talking about? So it's like, hold up, I don't get it, my man. Like, we decided we was going to leave together. What's the deal? What's going on? Unfortunately, it seems like Halsey got to him, right? So then we got this little standoff. And you can see even at that point in Master Chief's life, some kind of cracks in the foundation of the trust between himself and the UNSC. And, you know, him having to decide between what he's always known, you know what I'm saying, or what he thinks he's always known. We're going to get into that. And the uncertainty of what's out there. Because space is a big place, man. Like, I mean, I know we think, you know, we out here thinking like, yo, we on Earth, we the center of all things. No, we not. We like a baby, teeny piece of a rock in the greater, like, if you ever get a chance, it's on YouTube, you can look at the known universe as they pull back. So they show like Earth, they pull back. You know what I'm saying? To, you know, like Earth and the moon, then Earth and like our solar system, then to the, you know, the edge of our galaxy, then the next galaxy and all that. Like, we are the teeniest, tiniest, little bittiest, like, yo. And then we, of course, we're smaller than the Earth is. So we like, Lord, we're like amoeba out in this piece. You know what I'm saying? So it's so vast. I can see him kind of being on some, like, I don't know. I'm scared of what's going on there. And you can kind of see it in his eyes. So, of course, the older version of Soren is the name of the character. Soren, is it 066 or 006? Something like that. So, anyway, Soren grows up, grown man, and he's in this place called Rubble. And we find out it's Bokeem Woodbine. And I just want to give a shout out to Bokeem because, Bokeem on the low has been out in these streets getting his act on for a long time. And I don't think we give him his props because he always be having like them like baby roles. They be like, they don't be like full meaty roles, but he still gets some, he gets some words in like, and he's continued ever since. I think the first time I saw him was Strapped. Was he? Yeah, that might be the first time I remember seeing him. But, you know, we've seen him most recently in like Spider-Man, Homecoming, or in Ghostbusters Afterlife, or even now here in Halo. Like, seeing him still getting his work, still doing his thing, man, make me proud. I'm like, go ahead, Bokeem, I see you. And that I could think of, Bokeem's never said no funny style stuff about black people either. So much love to him for that. Because you know how black celebrities be sometimes. So I thought it was cool to see him. And especially to see what he represents in this story for John, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I just wanted to give some love to Bokeem up front. Before we even get started, before we even get going, before we even get into what we about to do in this review, is get into that good old Halo status of Unbound. This is an episode that I think it's necessary. It didn't have all the bells and whistles, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't super hype with fight scenes and stuff, but I think this is a very necessary episode to lay the groundwork of the mindset of Master Chief and the world around him, how people feel about him, how his presence affects people, and the decisions that he may or may not want to make in the future. So mainly, I'll start with the people around him. So, of course, Master Chief's gone, right? You know what I'm saying? He out in them streets, he, you know, flying, he on his own. He turned his beacon off. You know what I'm saying? He put his ship on airplane mode. You know what I'm saying? You can't find nothing. So they back in the UNSA, tripping. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do. And there's this discussion about what do we do with Master Chief? Because if he's supposed to be like the poster child for this war, if he's supposed to be our Captain America, if you will, and now we can't control him, like we are controlling all these Spartans, then what do we do with him? Because he was made to be controlled. And if we can't control him, then we need to kill him. That's basically, essentially what one of the generals, I believe was it Keyes? Who was alluding to that? You'll let me know in the chat or in the comments or whatever. They were kind of alluding to like, yo, look, if we can't control him, then old boy might, you know what I'm saying? So his presence for the UNSC is riding on a thin line of safety and fear. You know, like his presence almost ensures their safety to a certain degree. I mean, you know, we know how Master Chief get down. He's like old boy in Doom. Like, you know, like he strikes fear in the hearts of, you know, the Covenant. But if they can't control him and he is ever to find out that the UNSC has not always been straight up with him, he could quickly become an enemy. Similar to what I said last episode, I was like, they essentially attacked him by turning off his oxygen. So where does he place them in the kind of lineup of friend to foe? The kind of like sliding scale. But as we see when he comes back later in the episode, he says, you know, like, you're the only one I can trust, which is interesting because we know he just lied to Halsey on that one. So we'll see how that plays too. But, his effect on those around him seems to be more negative than not. there's always this looming, I guess, feeling around him of he needs to be controlled, like kind of like an attack dog. Essentially, that's what Spartans are. And if that attack dog ever bites your hand, that attack dog need to go down. And then on the other side, you have the Spartans, who it seems like there's three Spartans. So it seems like the one that is the sniper, it seems like she's super on the UNSC side. It looked like she ain't too keen on Master Chief and what he's doing. But the other two are open to see like why he did what he did and what's going on and what's on his mind. And more of a kind of like since we are Spartans, we are kind of like a family within the UNSC. Like we are experiencing something that only we experience in this program, and all, you know, we got. You know what I'm saying? So they have a perspective on Master Chief of not only is he our leader, but also we have a sort of familial connection to him through our shared experiences, our shared trauma, and also that what we are and who we are is unlike anyone else in the UNSC. So we kind of have to stick together, and you see them reasoning with one another, because of course the UNSC probably has other plans, you know, and they're definitely talking like, you know, what do we do? What's on his mind? And the other two outside of the lady that is a sniper, they're like, well, he's got to have a plan. Like, he doesn't just do anything just because. And normally he wouldn't. But after being in contact with one of the artifacts of the Forerunners, now, you know, his mind being is awakened, his mind being opened, changes things. And this harkens back to the statements from Bokeem when he makes a statement about some kind of pill or rations or whatever they take, and it doesn't allow them to feel or it doesn't allow them to taste and things like that. So we'll see where that goes as far as if he's going to stop taking it and how that slowly affects him. Because I think what we're going to be seeing throughout this season is a slow awakening of John to who the UNSC truly is, which is, you know, not completely evil, but not completely good. And they might be a little bit more on the evil side than he thought. Like, I think what John might end up finding at the end of the season is that the UNSC and the Covenant are two sides of the same coin. But outside of that, we have Quan Ha, who is kind of swept into this. And I like that he left Quan Ha at Rubble with Soren, because the way she sees him is as this guy that is a killer, is a, you know, military force to be reckoned with, but also her savior now. So even she doesn't know where to place him. Should I be scared of him? Well, no, because she knows that he means her no harm and he's no danger to her. And he's even protected her through the entry to Rubble. But is that all he's going to be? Because, you know, as we see, he's like, yo, Soren, take care of her. Just make sure she's safe. I got to go. And she's like, yo, you're just going to leave me? He's like, this is the best I can do. Like, I'm literally made to do nothing but destroy everything in my path. And I don't know how to nurture. I don't know how to do nothing else. So the best I can do is leave you with someone that I can trust in this place that is safer than the UNSC, because they wanted you dead. So Master Chief kind of represents sort of a savior to her to a certain degree, because like she said, you know, in telling the story about her mother, he was not only the one that was, you know, responsible for that, but he was also there when her father died. And now, even though he didn't kill her father, kind of being there at that time he's tied to a whole bunch of negativity, a whole bunch of loss, a whole bunch of death around her. And, you know, it's interesting to see how she views him. But I'm glad that she didn't fight him on any things, that she kind of stuck by him and, you know, trusted him to the degree that she could trust him. You know what I'm saying? But back to the relationship with Bokeem that I thought was really cool is we get to see someone who has left the program, someone who has kind of gotten away, and they even have their bit back and forth, their beef, where he was like, dude, you only gave me 5 minutes. You could have gave me 10. And, you know, as you can see, you know, he was like, yo, I had to survive on like nothing, pretty much. And they were on me forever until I got to rubble. So, you know, 5 minutes could have meant so much to him. And you didn't give him that. Well, I mean, he gave him 5, but the other 5, you know what I'm saying? And him still mad about that. But basically, John, to a certain degree, seeming like he's mad that he left. Like, we see someone that he trusts so much that when he went on the run, this is the first place he came. This is the person that he's entrusted Quan Ha to. So, to a certain degree, John could have seen Soren leaving as something, instead of something that Soren was doing for himself, for his own freedom, for his own peace of mind, but instead something that he was doing to John. Like, kind of like, you're leaving me. You're abandoning me, kind of thing. And that's probably stuck with him. But then also, on Soren's side, it's like, well, where else you gonna go? You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have went anywhere. You came here. Because regardless of how mad you are with me, you know you were supposed to come with me in the first place. And in the second place, you here because you know I'm a straight up dude. You know what I'm saying? And I like that relationship. I like that relationship a lot, because to see even the barbs and jabs that Soren throws at John, you get this energy of like, I know the real you. Like, you know, of course everybody has the Master Chief flag waving guy that's like, you know, doing jump kicks and shooting people and slicing folks. But I know the real you. Like, we've been cool for years. And now I can talk to you on a level and relate to you on a level that no one else can. Really. Because I see you as an equal, and also you are not my boss or anything. So not only as I see you as an equal, but also that our experience together was so aligned that we were literally going to run off and go on our own adventure, or just at least just get out of the UNSC. And that brings us back to the Forerunner artifact that is allowing him to see something different. And we get a couple mysteries out of this. We get to see, what's his name? Was it Reth? I think it was Reth, but I could be wrong. It, like Reth or Wrath or something like that? I think it was Reth. But they, you know, he takes them down to kind of like the what you would call like the Arkham of Rubble. And we get to speak to a guy that was with the Covenant and probably experimented on and everything for X amount of time. And he looks and he's like, oh, this is something that they want. And you're one of the blessed ones. And we're all like, you know, I mean, everybody in the room is like, blessed one, what? And saying that, like, look, I touch it and nothing happens. Look, see, I touched it, nothing's going on. And then, of course, when your boy John touches it, we get the energy wave again. And he gets those visions of what I guess we all believe is his father, his parents, whatever, you know, mom and dad. And most likely he'll be getting closer to the realization of what he was taken from and what was taken from him by the UNSC. And that sets up a very good... a very good line of storytelling that'll take us to what are blessed ones, because we know that essentially we assume that the young lady that's with the Covenant is one of the Blessed Ones. And also, now he is, what do Blessed Ones mean? What do Blessed Ones do? And Rhett said, like, destroy this and destroy yourself. Because I guess we're going to be getting to Halo. And of course, the rings are a weapon. If you've played the game, and I guess assume if you play the game, you're watching the show. If you haven't played the game, you might be new to the show, but the rings are a weapon. Or can be a weapon, I guess you could say. So, and a weapon for something that I hope is amazing on screen. But so we see that he needs to destroy, or Rhett says that he needs to destroy himself and this. So now we're on a mystery of, like, how dangerous are the Blessed Ones? What were the Blessed Ones' purpose, if there was at all? Also, what was John's childhood and what was taken from him and why was it taken from him? Like, did the UNSC just snatch up kids, or were there, like, special kids like Blessed Ones that they would seek out and kidnap and take? So this episode kind of lays the groundwork for a lot of great questions that I assume we'll answer by the end of the season. So even though I didn't get the action that I wanted, I do like the way this episode sets up the season. So let's get into what a bunch of people mad about, which I don't know if I'm mad about it, but I did notice it. Master Chief's helmet is off a whole lot. Like a whole lot, man. Like, Master Chief's helmet is off a lot. And people have been remarking on it. And, all right. Okay. So the helmet is, he's just a soldier. So the helmet really is just for use when he's in battle. So technically he's not in battle. This isn't like The Mandalorian, where, like, your whole way of life is to keep this helmet on. Like, nobody sees your face except, I guess, maybe, like, your wife or something like that. But in this situation, he's just a soldier. So when you're not in war, you don't really need your helmet. Or when you're not in battle, you know what I'm saying? You don't really need it. So this is a different situation. Now, it is kind of weird because you go from a situation where he's always having the helmet on and we barely ever see even like a piece of his face. But, you know, this is a different medium. And I mean, I guess it's hard for, well, first of all, Paul wants his face seen. He is the star of this show. He gonna want his face seen. But also, since this is a TV show, they probably think that it'll be easier for the viewer or viewers to relate to him if they're able to see his face at least a little bit. Now, we saw his face a lot of it on this episode, but I guess you can see maybe that's what they're saying, because he took his helmet off to kind of relate to Quan Ha, to be like, to kind of show her, look, I'm not just this thing. Like, I'm not just this weapon. This faceless, you know, tool for the UNSC. I'm a person, you know what I'm saying? So I get that, I get that. So I don't know, I'm still on the fence. I mean, I wanna see him in the helmet way more than I saw him in the helmet this episode, but then also he's a soldier. So you really only need the helmet when you're in battle or you're like, you know, like flying or something, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of still at odds with that. Because it would be weird if he had his helmet on when he was talking to his boy. You know, it's like, dude, take your helmet off. Like, why are you doing the most? So, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I kind of see why he takes the helmet off. You kind of need it. Now, on a costuming side, all right, Paramount Plus, you ain't the only people that do this. Halo, you ain't the only people that do this. Does everybody in the future or in space or anything like this, does everybody just stop using toothbrushes? Like, do dentists, like, are dentists extinct in the space future? Or, like, Because it seems like, basic toothbrush. It seems like even if you brush your teeth once a week, your teeth wouldn't get as bad as these people's teeth. This would be some bad teeth in the future, man. Like, we got to protect our dentists, man. Seriously, protect our dentists, because we never know what's going to happen. On the other thing that I wanted to remark upon was the costuming. When John, aka Master Chief, takes off his the body armor or whatever, that all black kind of Under Armour joint, that joint is sweet. Oh, that arm, snap, I see you. Y'all got some fashionistas up in here. It's like carbon fiber, metallic alloy, but also like mad cool. And I saw the little all black insignia on the side. I was like, this is kind of hot. Like, I ain't going front. Like, if I was a Spartan, I'd be rocking that joint all the time. Like, I ain't going front. I would be a Spartan rocking fool if I was. it did look nice. I like that. I thought the costume was awesome on that. I also liked Soren's arm. To see already the, I guess you would say like cybernetics or body modification or prosthesis in this world and how they work. It looks very, even though we have all the technology in the world, it still looks very, it looks very thrown together, which is what we would assume soldiers would get. It's not there to look pretty. It's not there to look nice or awesome. It's like, hey, look, you need an arm. Here it is. Here, this take your arm. That's all you need. And so it really looks like you see UNSC just doing like the very functional thing, which seems to make sense. Now, at the same time, I kind of wonder, like, all right, well, you know, you've left the UNSC. Couldn't you get like a better arm? But I mean, maybe you like that arm, man. I don't know. Maybe it's woman like it. That's a whole, just forget that. So with this said, final thoughts on this episode. The final thoughts I'm gonna come through with are the episode is on point. It does lay a lot of groundwork. Sometimes the helmet being off bothers me, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think it's as big a deal as it feels like. You know what I'm saying? Because we're used to playing as Master Chief. Now we're watching Master Chief. So, and also we never really see Master Chief when he's just kicking it with his old friend. I think this episode sets up things extremely well. I am excited to see where it goes. And overall, I'm glad we have a Halo show. For real. Straight up. Glad we have a Halo show. So, guys, holla at me. I'm going to holla at you. Down in them comments. Let's talk Halo. I am ready. I'm ready for this. I'm really ready for this. I'm glad we got it. And just next episode, let's kill some Covenant. All right, let's kill some Covenant. Let's get into that. And let's see what this Blessed One on the Covenant side going to do, because she seemed kind of crazy too. You know what I'm saying? We didn't see her too much, but we at least saw her talking to one of the elites that saw the artifact as well. So, of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places, TikTok as well. Get your podcast on. Holler at your boy any of those ways. Feel free to hit up the Cash App, hit up the Patreon, or you can make sure to go on and get your share on, because sharing is not only caring, but sharing is free. You know what I'm saying? It costs you nothing. So, shout out to Geeky Andre that came up in the chat. Said, put your helmet back on, Master Chief. I covered that. So, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about that one. So, guys, of course, with that said, I'm going to leave y'all with some black comics. Right now, I am getting into Bitter Root, Volume 3, And I don't know what I'll be reading next after that, man. I will update you guys on what's going on in them streets. So, with that said, shouts out to Algo C, Elixir, Ali Thieves, SP the Soul Prophet, Arcatron, NY Highsline, all you guys out there doing. And from me to you, until next time, which will be tomorrow, talk about Picard. Peace. And we are out. For real, man. We gone. We going ahead. We going straight to rubble. You know what I'm saying? Right up in the, you know, the little asteroids. That's where we're going. Pew!